How many of us have been right about something? We know we're right about it. And we needed to get that last word in. We had to prove our point. We had to prove we were right. And in that moment, we feel like this is justified. I have to do this. It's necessary. I have to do it. But later, you go home, think about the conversation you had. You realize maybe I didn't need that little last extra push. Sometimes it made things worse. Sometimes we hurt somebody else in the process. And maybe we won the argument, but damaged a relationship. Maybe we proved our point, but there was tension after that lingered. So what can we gain from that? We can be right, but also can be wrong. Let's turn over to Philippians 4, verse 5. Philippians 4, verse 5, Paul is addressing this tension. Philippians 4, verse 5, and this is where I'm going to focus the message today. It says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Paul doesn't say, make sure everyone knows that you're right. He doesn't say, defend your position at all costs. He says, let your gentleness be known. And what does it mean? What does Paul mean by gentleness? The word here translated gentleness in the new, it's translated in the New King James as gentleness, but as you go through other translations, you'll see different words, and it gives a kind of a bigger picture of what this word is. It's translated forbearance, graciousness, reasonableness, moderation, considerate. So let your forbearance, let your graciousness, let your reasonableness be known. So gentleness is pointing towards a gracious restraint, a choice not to press, even if you're right, even if you could. And this kind of character stands out. It's noticed. It's visible. And Paul is saying this is something that others should notice about us. The world at that time where Philippians was written was the world of the Roman Empire. Rome was not a gentle culture. Power was asserted. Honor was defended. And as you read through the book of Philippians, you see that the church at Philippi, it also had their own pressure that they were under. It talks about jealousy, rivalry, selfish ambition, personal conflict. The church also was under this external pressure from adversaries. And of course, Paul was himself in imprisonment. But Paul says, even though you're under these conditions, in the church and outside the church, under difficult circumstances, persecution, conflict in the church, let your gentleness be known. The character of gentleness was counterculture then, as it is today. We live in an outrage society, outrage culture. Reactions are instant based on the news, based on social media. Opinions are fiercely defended. Arguments are rewarded by that heart emoji or that like button. So even when we stand up for what is right, what is good, what is pure, what is noble, we can be labeled unloving, uncaring, intolerant, and dismissed. So instead of telling the followers, the disciples of Christ, to push harder in that culture, get louder, Paul encourages a gentle, patient, calm, gracious restraint. Why? Why does he do that? We need to be gentle because that's what Jesus Christ was. We need gentleness to be like Christ. We are disciples, we're students, followers of Christ. And Jesus defines gentleness. Matthew 11, verse 29, we can read that or reference it. Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Gentleness is core of who Christ is, one of the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul echoes this also in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1 says, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Jesus had every right, by worldly standards, to assert himself. And he could have. He could have called judgment down from heaven. He could have called down legions of angels to protect him. He could have crushed his opponents. But he didn't. He set an example for us. He focused on people. He was there for a mission. He chose restoration over humiliation. He chose patience over power. He willingly laid aside his rights and ultimately his life for the sake of others, for everyone. And we see this example of him, of gentleness, all through Scripture. It's a strength under control. With the Samaritan woman, truth was spoken plainly to someone else. Everyone else avoided. Before his accusers, there was strength without self-defense. In Gethsemane, he submitted his will to the Father under crushing anguish. With Martha and Mary, he had correction without humiliation. But also, gentleness doesn't mean compromise, because gentleness is sometimes misunderstood. It's not weakness, it's not passivity, it's not meh, whatever kind of attitude. Gentleness is delivering truth with care. And truth is not compromised by being gentle, but it is spoken in love. And as we go through Scripture, gentleness is paired with conviction. Here's a few examples. Proverbs tells us a gentle tongue can break resistance. James says wisdom from above is pure and peaceable. Paul tells Titus humility and gentleness strengthen credibility. And Jesus says to be wise as serpents but harmless as doves. So gentleness is restraint. And biblical gentleness is a strength under control. We can think of it in a way like this. Not winning at all costs, willing to yield for the sake of others, for the sake of peace, choosing mercy over technicality, speaking truth without crushing someone, remaining steady, restrained when emotions are hot. And it comes in various examples in our life when how we speak. Do we pause before saying something that we might regret? How do we react when we feel like we're on the defensive, when we feel like we're being attacked? Not always having to feel like we've got to get that last word in. And it might mean that we pause for a moment before firing back a text message. It might mean sleeping on an email that you are frustrated about. We've probably all been there. I have. Scripture asks us some hard questions. It challenges us to rise above our natural instinct. So in the moments where we feel justified and even we feel it's necessary, Scripture challenges us. It quietly asks us, is it worth insisting on this? Is what I'm doing producing righteousness? As much as it depends on me, is peace possible? So finally, then in Philippians 4, verse 5, Paul ends, he says, the Lord is near. So God sees, he knows, he's there. He makes things all right. Everything right, I should say. So we have to trust in him. And because he's near, we don't always have to defend ourselves. We don't always have to demand our rights. We don't always have to win every argument. We are accountable to no one except for God, to God. That's where we focus. And by doing that, by focusing on being accountable to God only, it allows us to work on this spirit of gentleness. And as we look at the flow here in Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7, there's a flow here that talks about rejoice in the Lord, be anxious for nothing, let your gentleness be known, be with prayer and thanksgiving, and then the peace of God will guard our hearts. Gentleness is right there between joy and peace. Joy and gentleness, fruit of the Spirit, we work on developing that. And when these are activated, it makes room for God's peace in our life. So hold on to truth, but show gentleness to all.